No. Hey, we're happy you chose to take a break with Gene and Mary today. Look forward to hearing from you all the time online, and really glad you chose to listen to us now. We're here every weekday at noon Eastern. Come on, take a break with us.
Bam! Warning. Because you know what? We are so unprepared today. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know which end is up. I know Gene is drinking coffee. I'm drinking tea. And God help us if we mix up our cups. Because that's not going to be fun. I don't drink coffee. He does drink tea, but I don't drink coffee.
Well, the big problem is that we like to start our show with a little recorder music, you know, just to kind of set the mood for something fun and exciting. But I had my mouth full of trail mix and cookies, so I didn't want to fill up my recorder. But I hummed a few bars, and I appreciate y'all in indulging me. Thank you
very much.
But speaking about coffee and tea, before we get to today's word of the day, I want to make a little shout out to Spirit Rising Florida for their wake up tea. I love it. And this is an unpaid, unsolicited advertisement?
Endorsement.
And Gene had a cup of this last week, and I want Gene to tell you about his experience.
It was great. I mean, I kind of was thinking I needed a cup of coffee to give myself a little bit more of a lift and all. And this stuff just took me right on up a little bit higher there, that next lift. It was great. Good for working.
Definitely had spirit rising over here because our spirits were rising as we were unpacking a donation.
Yes.
That was given to Be Unique by the, I guess Marion was the one who gave us that one, or Green Gables, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Green Gables. Somebody donated them to Green Gables, and it was not, we could use it, but they really couldn't, so they donated it to us.
And then we got a second donation last week, and Barb went with me to go pick it up, and Ann Rayleigh gave us that. I think it was donated to her specifically, but it doesn't matter. It still came through Green Gables. And it was pretty phenomenal. People are giving us amazing things that we can turn into even more artistic, amazing things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody wants to jump on board and help. Be Unique is the next big thing, you know, and everybody chipping in and helping is how it's going to happen.
And I think it's time for the word of the day.
Oh, please, yeah.
Yes, okay. The word of today.
Now, is this the jocularity part? Or the
the jocularity, I think, came before when we were humming.
Okay.
Two different songs that totally out of tune with each other. I actually have two words for today, and this is the education. What's the word?
Knowledge.
Knowledge part. The first word of the day is malediction. Okay. It's a magical word or phrase uttered with the intention of bringing about evil or destruction, like a curse.
No.
He muttered maledictions to himself as he trod the stone passages. Another one is imprecation. It's a spoken curse. She hurled her imprecations at anyone who might be listening. Now, I'll tell you, I actually had somebody recently ask me, they said, I know you're really good with spiritual things and you're very good at giving blessings and helping people heal. Can you do hexes and curses on people? Like, you know, a pox on you. I said, I can, but I will not. It's not something I want to do. I don't want that karma with me.
Well, you know, I didn't really done a lot of hexing or anything like that. I guess people have done them to me, but I never really thought much about it. I don't think it bothers me because I don't really care. They can hex me, but I just don't put up with that.
Well, I think if you are of a certain spiritual level, maybe as the right word, I wish Elise was here. She'd know.
Resistance.
Yeah. Well, if also sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And I think if you believe that someone can hex you, then they will. But if you choose not to be hexed or if you're ignorant to the hex or the curse, it can't hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's with intention. My intention not to be hexed is a lot stronger than anybody's intention to hex me. I'll say that.
Now, the reason we're talking about curses and hexing and whatnot is because a couple of weeks ago when Gene and I were recording our shows, we had come up with an idea. I don't remember. Gene said something, and it wasn't really bad, but he just, oh, pardon my French. And he might have said green instead of blue or something like that. I don't know. But he was like, pardon my French. And we started thinking that that would be a great topic for a show. Why do we say, pardon my French? Do you know, Gene?
Well, you know, I don't know for sure specifically. My theory is that probably since we're English speakers, that it goes back to the historically love-hate relationship the French and the English have back through the centuries of history. Where, I mean, I've studied history, and I see where a lot of times something in the English language that's considered maybe pejorative would be considered French. So it's almost like your excuse, you said something vulgar, but it's okay because it was accidentally did some French, you know.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing because nobody ever says, pardon my Spanish, pardon my Greek, please excuse my Russian.
Well, it's true, but I think it goes back to the specific relationship between the two peoples, back to the, 1066 with the Norman invasion, you know, that made a lot of people mad.
Yeah, and I think also that the people of Middle Ages times, you know, the French and the English were really at each other's throats about a lot of things. One of the things they were upset about was religion and specific ways to worship. However, they tried to, they worshiped the same God, but in different ways. And
it was up to whoever was the king, you know, it's who what church the king went to, and they battled over that sort of thing.
Exactly. Where is my
thing here? You know, one of the things I want to that I think is pretty funny when you talk about pardon my French and it being like a, in my suggestion that it was a pejorative suggestion, something that I think is interesting is I actually am surprised at how many people are so offended by cussing languages. You know, I understand how it can be, but if you think about it in real life, if you're a good communicator, you use every piece of tool that you have to communicate. And I'm thinking that in my life, I don't cuss that much, like hardly ever. But I'm telling you what, boy, a well-placed explicative at a very important moment can really add some impact, depending on your situation, you know?
Yeah, and I just found something online that helps explain exactly what he just said. The phrase appears in the U.S. in this usage, the pardon my French, as early as the 1800s, and linguists think that it derives from a more literal usage. English speakers dropped French words or phrases into conversation, sometimes to display their culture or to prove that they were refined or they had a higher social upbringing. Sometimes only because a French phrase has what they call je ne sais quoi. And I don't think je ne sais quoi has ever been actually translated. I don't know. I'm going to look that up. But they would apologize. They might say je ne sais quoi and, oh, pardon my French. And that implies, okay, je ne sais quoi means a quality that cannot be described or named easily. But the reason that people would apologize for that is they assume that the listener may not be familiar with the foreign language.
Oh. So more like a snooty thing.
Yes. Oh. And now this is interesting. In the ladies' magazine, or entertaining companion for the fair sex, appropriated solely to their use and amusement, in the 1830s. That was before Nora Wells' time. Bless me, how fat you are grown. Absolutely as round as a ball. You will soon be as embonpoint as your poor dear father, the major. Excuse my French. And, you know, the and bon point, I guess, is like round as a ball. But the phrase may have been appropriated for covering foul language because it fits the habit of ascribing unsavory habits or objects to the French through nicknames in English. Taking French leave, have you ever heard that? Is leaving a gathering without saying goodbye or thanking the host.
Oh, so rude.
Ooh, the French letter is an archaic nickname for a condom. A French kiss implies the gratuitous use of the tongue. And herpes used to be known as the French disease. Well, I guess the French Legionnaire were involved in that. I don't know. Je ne sais quoi. I just never did understand that word. It's a phrase. It's not a word. It's a phrase.
I know the word "sais" S-A-I-S is one of the verbs. It's
like, and it means what?
It's like no. I don't know or something like that.
Well, you should know. You studied French. You studied French, right?
Yes. I studied the heck out of it. No, I passed the French course with about 1,400 stacks of French cards at the last moment and the good graces of God and the French teacher.
Well, I studied French in high school and passed, but I studied Spanish in college and learned.
So you could do some Spanish now if you needed to, but you're not really some French? Or how do you do with French?
I mean, si, señor. Oui, monsieur. I can do both, and I can get in trouble in both languages.
Well, you know, I didn't take a language in high school, and I thought I was home free. And well, I started college, and they said, well, you have to have a language. So I ended up having to have 2 years.
Yeah.
And so I took French because I was working at a national park that was associated with the 16th century French. And I wanted to be able to read the original manuscripts.
Very cool.
And it was fun. I was able to. However, it would have been probably more useful. I live in a place where there are more Spanish speakers around. I could have maybe used it more often. But I'm telling you what, I thought I was good. I decided I got my degree and was set. And I thought, well, okay, here we go. And then I went to graduate school and they said, okay, so, you got a C in French. You needed to have a B or you got to take it again.
Oh, no.
So I ended up with three more years of French. I took 2 semesters to get through French 1 again or whatever. I don't know. I took French my whole degree and they gave me the degree.
Well, I took Spanish every chance I could in college and I really enjoyed it. And while I was there, I actually tutored my classmates.
Pretty cool.
Because I have a very strange way of assimilating the language into my brain, and it worked for the I was actually a more mature student, but I worked with a lot of college age kids, so it was interesting. I can remember one thing in particular. There was a young man named Tom in my class, and he was as clean shaven as a goose egg, but when it came time to study, one of the words we were studying was thick. The word thick. And the Spanish word for thick is grueso. Mm-hmm. And they just couldn't understand how it didn't make sense to their English mind. And so I sat for just a second or two and I looked around. I said, think of it this way. Tom, grueso, thick mustache. So, because he didn't have a mustache, I don't think he had enough hair on his head to grow a mustache. He was that young, but it clicked in them. They knew, and I don't woman. The word for woman is mujer, and there's another word that means better. Like I can't remember it right now, but it's almost like mohair, but that's not correct. So please excuse me, my Spanish speaking listeners. But I told the kids, I called them kids. They were in at least 20, most of them. But my younger classmates, I said something about the mujer's woman is not made of mujer. So I'm hoping that somebody who does speak Spanish can call me back and correct me. And what is the word that sounds like mujer and it means better?
Because you never know what you're saying. The one thing I distinctly remember is making this one lady mad in French class because I kept trying to tell her I wanted to wash her. And I was kept trying to say I wanted to go wash my car today, you know, in this conversational thing. And she got mad and said, "What are you trying to say to me?" And I explained it, and we got okay after that. But
I had a man in the grocery store one time. Why he asked me, I don't know. He asked me, "Habla español?" I said, "Sí, un poco," which means yes, a little. So he started asking me where to find the napkins in the store. But he was doing sign, you know, body language. So instead of dabbing at his lips like I would, you know, this for napkin, mm-hmm. he was like doing like this. I thought he was asking for shaving cream, but he was asking, "¿Dónde es servilletos?" Where are the napkins? And he had a very thick Southern Mexican accent, I'm guessing. I don't know where he was from, but it was very difficult for me. And dialects make words sound different.
Yes.
As we have discussed many times, when I try to throw on my Southern accent. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll do that again sometime. My accent didn't change at all after 30 years in Jacksonville until my family from out west came to visit. And then I realized that it had.
Oh.
I didn't sound that's much like South Dakota.
Dakota
out there. Still, they did still. So, anyway. Well, listen, we got to get out of here. Break's over today, I think.
Oh, man, I think it's over.
Well, all right. Well, let me see. I got the cookies out of my teeth, so I'm going to play a little bit of recorder on the way out. And give me the beat. All right.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next time.
Check us out, beunique.org, BUNEKE.org.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.